Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Canto 7, Chapter 2, Text 49. Ta nityam anityam va. Neha shochanti tadvidaha. Nanyata shakyate kartum. Svabhava shochatam iti. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Those who have full knowledge of self-realization, who know very well that the spirit soul is eternal, whereas the body is perishable, are not overwhelmed by lamentation. But persons who lack knowledge of self-realization, certainly lament. Therefore, it is difficult to educate a person in illusion. Purport. According to the Mimamsa philosophers, everything is eternal, nitya. And according to the Sankhya philosophers, everything is mithya, or anitya, impermanent. Nonetheless, without real knowledge of Atma, the soul, such philosophers must be bewildered and must continue to lament as Shudras. Srila Sukadev Goswami therefore said to Parikshit Maharaj, Shotavyadini Rajendra Dvinam Sandhi Sahasrashaha Apasyatam Atma Tattvam Griheshu Grihamedinam. Those who are materially engrossed, being blind to the knowledge of the ultimate truth, have many subjects for hearing in human society, O Emperor. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.2. For ordinary persons engaged in material activities, there are many, many subject matters to understand, because such persons do not understand self-realization. One must therefore be educated in self-realization so that under any circumstance in life, he will remain steady in his vows. Hare Krishna. So, I seek all the blessings of the assembled Vaishnavas. I'm not so qualified. But as we heard earlier, Prabhupada writes in the purport, when Yamaraj began to speak in the form of a small child, that everyone likes to hear philosophy from a child. So somehow they asked a child like me to speak. I want to thank Govindapru for this opportunity. Of course, he's not here today, which I'm kind of happy that he doesn't have to tolerate listening to me, but missing his association, his blessings personally, like all the other devotees as well. So, Hiranyakashipu here is continuing his dissemination of transcendental knowledge. The Srimad Bhagavatam is a commentary on the Vedanta Sutras. And the Vedanta Sutras begin with Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now that you have achieved this human form of life, inquire into the Absolute Truth. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, we know, as we said, is the commentary in the Vedanta Sutra. So this principle is illustrated in so many wonderful stories. First and foremost, we have the basic story of the Bhagavatam in the first canto of Maharaj Parikshit. The whole Bhagavatam was spoken because Maharaj Parikshit inquired about the Absolute Truth. In the very beginning, he left everything, all his responsibilities of the material world. Although he was a pure devotee from his very birth, Krishna protected him in the womb. His grandfather was Arjuna, practically the most intimate associate of Krishna in the world. From his very childhood, he was a pure devotee, and he was executing his occupational duties exclusively for the pleasure of the Lord as a perfect king, perfect Rajarshi, seeing to the welfare of all of his citizens. But still, when Krishna arranged certain circumstances in his life, he understood now it is time to go to the forest or the bank of the Ganga and dedicate my time exclusively to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. And without even a second thought, he left everything. So that is one story of how Maharaj Parikshit inquired about the Absolute Truth. Of course, this is a constant theme throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. Just within the first canto, we have Maharaj Parikshit leaving home. We have a whole chapter. And of course, the first canto is like the preview. It contains all the major themes of Srimad Bhagavatam. In that first canto, we have a very powerful chapter. Dhritarashtra quits home, it's like the prototype for these types of instructions, which come in many other places later, but a very powerful chapter. Then the Pandavas quit home after that shortly. And the idea here is that in all these situations is that time, of course, we know from Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna says, time I am, kalosmi lokashaya krit pravidho, and I've come here to destroy all people. Mrityu sarva harashchaham, Krishna says in other places. In the form of death, I take everything away. And Baladeva Vijayabhushan describes that this time factor is one of the five major topics of Bhagavad Gita, although it's not explicitly talked about so much. It's such a very important aspect of the Lord. When Vidura comes home and he is preaching to Dhritarashtra, he says, Saesha Bhagavan Kala, it is the Supreme Lord time who has approached us all. Sarvata Samagataha, he's approached us all. He's overtaking us all. Get out of here. You're blind from your birth. Now your teeth are falling out. Your digestion doesn't work. You're making a funny noise, grr, grr, when you breathe. Your body is choked up with mucus. Just get out of here. So, this is such a very important point because this is the basic principle of spiritual life, that human life is meant exclusively for self-realization. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Everything else can be obtained within any other species of life except for self-realization. All the things that human beings are struggling so hard to do, the animals are accomplishing them with great ease and much better. So here in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, we are getting a wonderful dose of this most important medicine that we need to hear. Because it's so easy to forget that human life is meant for self-realization alone. So Hiranyakashipu, of course, is speaking to the aggrieved relatives of Hiranyaksha, his wives, Hiranyaksha's wives, their mother. And he is trying to free them from lamentation. So he's quoting Yamaraj here, who's saying, persons who lack knowledge of self-realization certainly lament. So this is the principal sign of knowledge, according to the Vedic conception, knowledge is not something intellectual. It's not something that we know. But knowledge can be understood. It cannot be measured by taking a test in school or college or university. They may administer some tests to see, do you know something? And then they have some multiple choice questions or some essay questions or something like that, or some math problems you have to solve, equations. But spiritual knowledge is a different kind of knowledge. It has a different symptom by which it's recognized. And a person who is in knowledge, he does not lament in any situation. He's not disturbed in any situation of life. And the other side of that coin is, we can understand that no matter how learned a person may claim to be, no matter how erudite a scholar a person may be, no matter how big of a vocabulary they may have or how many shlokas they have memorized, if they're lamenting, this means they're not in knowledge. That is why Krishna told Arjuna, you're speaking learned words, but you're lamenting like a fool. Asochan anvasochas tam pragyavadam shabhasasam. You're speaking learned words, but you're lamenting for that which is not worthy of grief. The wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. So here also in the beginning of their purport, Prabhupada says, according to the Mimamsa philosophers, everything is eternal, nitya. And according to the Sankhya philosophers, everything is mitya, or anitya, impermanent. So some people say everything is eternal, some people say everything is false. But Prabhupada goes on to say, nonetheless, without real knowledge of Atma, the soul, such philosophers must be bewildered and must continue to lament as shudras. So, in the modern context, there are so many philosophers and scientists, and they speculate so many different things. The world is like this, the world is like that. They say, there is no consciousness, there is no life. It's all just matter. Consciousness is an illusion. But all their philosophy, all their ideas, all their conceptions about life cannot bring them relief from the suffering of this world. In the same way, and the other side is the impersonalist philosophers. Although they may say that they're a hum brahmasmi, I'm spirit, I have no reason to lament, still we find they're also caught up in the hankering and lamenting process in various ways. And that is what Krishna said to Arjuna. You're speaking so many words, you've just given me a whole list of arguments why you shouldn't fight. But if you're actually in knowledge, if you knew anything, then you would not be lamenting. And then Krishna went on to adjust Arjuna's paradigm. He gave him a paradigm shift. He says, you're lamenting for that which is not worthy of grief, because the wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. You're claiming to be wise, but you don't understand the very basic principle of what is real knowledge. That the soul is eternal. This is the foundation of all spiritual knowledge. And without understanding this, and without gaining some realization of this, there's no question of going on. It's not just a matter of intellectually understanding. First I read Bhagavad Gita and intellectually I know that I'm not the soul. Then I read Bhagavatam and I can intellectually understand Krishna's pastimes. But you have to realize it and act accordingly. So when we begin to put the principles into practice, then we can begin to realize higher spiritual principles. So this spiritual knowledge is so very essential. It is the goal of human life. The knowledge of the soul is the beginning of spiritual life. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. We have to inquire into what is spirit. Of course, it begins with understanding ourselves as spirit, but ultimately we also must know the Supreme Spirit, the Super Soul, ultimately Krishna in the spiritual world, in Goloka and Vrindavan. Srimati Radharani, Lalita Vishaka, all their associates. And we must understand our spiritual relationship with them. And unless we do this, we will continue to lament. So, there's a few points which we could understand from this. The first thing is that spiritual life is very practical. No one wants to continue to lament. Does anyone want to continue to lament? But we want to continue to desire or hanker. But unfortunately, hankering and lamenting are inextricably combined. So no one wants to lament in this world, but we are at the same time cultivating so many desires, which inevitably lead to frustration and lamentation. So this material world is such a place that even without endeavoring, we will be put into difficulty. We'll be put into situations that will cause lamentation. Just like here, the wives of Hiranyaksha, his mother, all the other associates, they're lamenting terribly because Hiranyaksha, their very dear brother, their very dear son, husband, friend, has been killed. Or now we're hearing the story of Suyagya, the powerful warrior who is slain on the battlefield. He is surrounded by all his wives, and they're lamenting for him. So this is the nature of the world. Devotees are not pessimistic. If you look at the lives of devotees are so much happier. We're always talking about suffering and birth, death, disease, and old age. But really, if we're understanding these things in the proper way, it brings joy, it brings happiness, it brings relief from all lamentation. Spiritual knowledge brings relief from all lamentation. So this material world is designed in such a way. The Supreme Lord, through the time factor, he just takes everything away. And it is guaranteed to cause lamentation if we are attached to anything of this world. So this is the importance of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, quotes the verse from the beginning of the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the second verse that Srila Sukadeva Goswami speaks. Shrotavyadini rajanja nrinam santi sahasrasaha apasyatam atmatattvam griheshu grihamedinam. Those who are materially engrossed, being blind to knowledge of the ultimate truth, have many subjects for hearing in human society. So there are many subjects for hearing. This reply that Sukadeva Goswami is speaking here is being given in answer to Maharaj Pariksit's question. He says, what is the duty of someone who is about to die? This is a very important question. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is full of wonderful stories, but these are not just stories. These are reality. One time, Radhanath Maharaj, he was speaking this story of Kailash in one Bhagavatam class, one lecture. In Kailash, I won't tell the whole story, but the story of Kailash is essentially, he said it's related in one Purana that there was one disciple of Narada Muni who, Narada Muni was preaching to him. He didn't want to become serious about Krishna consciousness. Narada Muni said, Kailash, you know, human life, it's very short. Should take to spiritual life. Kailash said, yes, I will definitely take, yes, very seriously. But the thing is, I'm, you know, just trying to finish my education now and get settled. Once I settle down a little bit, you know, get married, have my own house, then, you know, things will be a lot more stable. I'll be able to focus properly on my hearing and chanting. So Narada Muni, seeing that Kailash was not ready, he left for some time. Then he came back some years later. Kailash was settled down. He had a family. He had just had his first child. Narada Muni was encouraging him, Kailash, time is moving on. Time marches on. Please take the spiritual life seriously. I said, but my child has just been born. In my business, I'm just starting my business. I have a family to take care of now and so many responsibilities, and the business is just starting. And if you just give me a little more time, things will be settled more. And so it went on like this his whole life. Eventually, one time Narada Muni came. Kailash was no more. Narada Muni was lamenting terribly. I could not save him. I could not save him. I tried. I came so many times. But then Narada Muni, he saw a dog just nearby the house. And because he is an extremely empowered preacher of the Lord, he could communicate with the dog. And Narada Muni could understand that this was Kailash in a dog's body. But because he was so attached to the house, he took birth at the house. And Narada Muni said, Kailash, come take the spiritual life now. Even though you've lost a human form of life, still I can help you if you're willing, if you're ready. Kailash said, the thing is, you know, my children, they don't know how to properly take care of the family, and I'm here just protecting the house in case any, you know, burglars or anyone comes in. You know, I have to protect my children. And Narada Muni was just amazed at the power of the illusory energy of the Lord. Later in this same canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj, he offers his obeisances. He said, I've heard about this illusory energy of the Lord, which creates the distinction of friends and enemies. But now I'm seeing it in reality. And he offered his obeisances to that external energy. Anyways, next time Narada Muni came back, he asked the family, what happened to that dog that was around here somewhere? They said, oh, I don't know, we haven't seen it in a while. Narada Muni was, oh, where is Kailash now? Who knows what species of life he's in, what part of the universe? And he came back again. I'm sorry, and then as he was leaving, he saw a little snake on the ground. Narada Muni said, there's Kailash, he's still here. I found him. Narada Muni was trying to wake him up. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, how long will you sleep in the lap of the witch called Maya? But Kailash, he said, actually, I buried some treasure under this tree here, and I'm just staying here to guard it. So, but I'm, you know, just, I'm almost ready. I'm almost ready. So Narada Muni, he called all the family members together. Kailash's children, who are very old by now, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, everyone together. And he said, I have something very important to tell all of you. There's a very poisonous, deadly snake in your courtyard. You must kill it, otherwise it will harm your children. So they all came running outside with sticks, and they began to beat Kailash in the form of the snake. And then he said to Narada Muni, okay, I'm ready now. Now I'm ready. So that is the abbreviated version. But the point is that one time Radhanath Maharaj told this story, and then afterwards he said to me, this is a true story. And I was thinking, Maharaj has never said that to me before. I'm like, is it that I don't have faith in the stories he tells from the scriptures, or what? Why is he saying that? And then he said, this is a true story. This is the story of everyone. So, Parikshit Maharaj, these stories are true. Literally, but also they are true for everyone. This is the story of everyone. Maharishi Parikshit was intelligent enough to actually inquire, what is the duty of someone who's about to die? But this is the story of everyone's life. We're all about to die in one way or another, one form or another. It is simply only a matter of a very, very short time. Last year, I had the one devotee in our community in New Vrindavan passed away. And I had the good fortune of standing just next to him as we were doing kirtan. And this was the first time I'd ever seen anyone die. I don't know, maybe in India it's more common, but probably it's becoming less common also if you live in Bombay or a big city. When you actually see someone die, you understand how the reality of the situation. Of course, my next door neighbor had died when I was younger, about 18. That's when I took spiritual life more seriously from that time on. But this is the first time I actually seen someone die. Death is seen as something which is very, very bad. It's seen as something which should be hidden, which should be forgotten, which should be not talked about in any way. Because if we can, the more we can manage to somehow forget about birth, death, old age, and disease, the more we can try to enjoy in this world. But it is not a very intelligent proposition. It's like if you have some students there in university and they have exams coming, but they don't want to think about it, so they just get drunk every day. It's not such an intelligent thing to do. They may think they're happy, but they don't realize that they're setting themselves up for a very disastrous situation. So this is something that's so important. And from the Vedic perspective of reality, it is something that should be talked about, something that should be understood. It was not something that was kept hidden. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, death is not a tragedy. There's nothing inherently bad about death. Of course, a repeated cycle of birth and death is bad, but there's nothing worse about death than birth. Birth is just as much a tragedy as death is. And death is just as much a tragedy or just as much a joy, either way, as birth. They're the same thing. But what is considered a tragedy is even 1 second not utilized in remembering the Supreme Lord. That is the real tragedy of human life. Death is bound to happen, and it will happen to everyone. And there is nothing sad about it. It's actually very glorious if it is done properly. So when seeing this person actually die, leave the body, it was a very profound experience. We're reading so much about the philosophy, but without this understanding of the fact that life is temporary and is meant for self-realization. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this is the essence of all advice in one song. Jivana anitya dana hasar tahe na navina vipadabhar namashraya kori jatane tume taka apanamaja. He says, please understand this essential advice. The essence of all advice is that life is temporary and full of various miseries. Please very carefully take shelter of the holy name of the Lord. So life is temporary. And life is full of miseries. But if we take shelter of Krishna, then life becomes wonderful and full of joy. We are not simply saying that life is miserable and you just have to tolerate it and wait till you die. No, life becomes the most amazing experience. The happiness of spiritual life, of Krishna consciousness, makes the happiness of, even at the stage of madhyama adhikara, even at the middle stage of Krishna consciousness, said that the happiness is described as moksha lagutakrit. It makes the happiness of even liberation seem insignificant. Prabodhananda Saraswati says, for one who has received the merciful sidelong glance of Lord Gaudachandra, the whole universe becomes filled with joy. Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. He's describing the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kaivalyam Nadakayate. He says, impersonal liberation seems hellish. Chidashakasha Pushpayate. The promotion to heavenly planets seems to be nothing more than a phantasmagoria. Durdantendriya Kala Sarpa Patali Prukate Damstrayate. The fangs of the black serpents of the senses are completely uprooted, are smashed from their root. Vishvam Purna Sukhayate, the whole universe is filled with joy. Invidi Mahendrad Dis Chikitayate, and even the greatest demigods seem as insignificant as insects for one who has received. Yat Kurunya Katakshavai Bhavava Tam Tameva Gauda Stuma. Let that Lord Gauda be glorified. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to actually fulfill our desires. In the beginning of the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that it is meant for uprooting the threefold miseries of material life. Tapon mulam chayanam. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is for those who are ready to hear spiritual knowledge. And unfortunately, sometimes we have to be put into difficult situations, like the people here in this story who are lamenting, or like Arjuna, for example, who is lamenting. But this spiritual knowledge is so wonderful. It has the power to uproot the miseries of material existence. It has the power to fill the whole universe with joy. And it has the power to bestow upon us the happiness that is available in Krishna's association. Srila Prabhupada says that Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna, and we can expect all the benefits that are available in Krishna's personal association in Srimad Bhagavatam by hearing this knowledge. So this is the subject matter for hearing, for those who really want to be free from this lamentation. There are so many books out there, so many pseudo-spiritual psychology and sociology, and so many different religious books, and so many scientific books, and everyone is promising some relief from suffering in some way. But we can just, by looking around, we can see that people are not happy. Of course, it is less apparent here in Mumbai than in other parts of the world, because the certain cultural core values that are based on spiritual principles are still to some extent present. And that is, in many ways, bringing a certain level of peace and happiness in society here. But the more that the society deviates from these principles, then the more, if you go to the West especially, you can see just how much people are suffering. Radhanath Maharaj tells the story of when he met Mother Teresa, and how she told him that when she sees the people in America, and she goes there living in big houses and driving big cars and living very extravagant lifestyles, when she compares them to the people in the slums of Calcutta, she sees that the people in America are the ones that are actually starving of spiritual hunger, not the people living in India. But again, that is changing very rapidly. So the spiritual knowledge has the power to free everyone from suffering. It has the power to bring relief, this knowledge of the soul. As long as we continue to, either individually or collectively, base our lifestyles on our identification as the body, then we must lament. We must lament within this lifetime. We must take birth over and over again. So this is the wonderful gift of Srimad Bhagavatam, that we have the opportunity to inquire into the absolute truth and hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day and perfect our lives and genuinely experience the transcendental pleasure of spiritual life and being free from lamentation. And I'll just read the last sentence of Srila Prabhupada's purport. So he's speaking about lamentation, and he says, therefore one must be educated in self-realization so that under any circumstance of life he will remain steady in his vows. So the spiritual knowledge of the science of the soul that is being explained is not simply to free a person from lamentation, but actually there's a goal beyond that. Beyond anartha nivritti, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains, is artha pravritti. Beyond liberation, there's actually something valuable to attain. Besides just getting rid of the useless things, there's something worthwhile, something that has value that we can attain. So when we actually are freed from the dualities of this world, we're actually on the spiritual platform, Brahma, Buddha, Prasanatma, when we become joyful, when we're freed from hankering, from lamenting, when we're established in the self, on this platform of true knowledge, then Krishna consciousness can really begin. We can be steady in our spiritual vows to hear and chant the Lord's holy names, steady in our practice of devotional service, and we can, in that way, attain the goal of eternal life in the spiritual world in the association of Radha Gopinath. So, thank you very much for your kind attention. Sorry to bore you in that way. Any questions or comments on anything we discussed? So thank you all very much again. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.